Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
I hope you do, because we are water in the middle of a desert. We are an oasis for many people across the country who believe the country has gone insane. I know many of you feel like you're dying of thirst, you're parched, you're walking around saying, my God, what has happened to basic common sense? What has happened to all segments of normalcy? Another story where sports is absolutely proven to be ludicrous. Now, Bubba Wallace, this story, again, I would say anywhere in the country, I think OutKick covered it better than anyone did. People say, why would you say that? And the answer is because everybody else, it feels like in sports media and certainly in the media in general, wants to react before we know what the actual facts of a situation are. No one takes the time to take a step back and think, okay, let's work through the process. If you listened to the show yesterday, I told you that I believed there were three potential outcomes, and by and large, people were only talking about one of those outcomes when it came to the Bubba Wallace investigation. We had a good interview yesterday with Shannon Spake where we got a lot of factual information. Then I walked through it, and it's like people are afraid to consider any of the actual possibilities here because it's racist if you don't say everything that happens in the universe is racist, right? I said, look, it's possible that there is a racist person at NASCAR who put a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage. That's possible. That's option one. Option two, which is what I said I thought was the most likely, and it appears that I was correct, I said, is there is not a negative connotation that this is just, if you go back and listen, I said that this is just potentially the pull rope in the garage. There's evidence that suggests that pull rope has got, it's not a noose, it's got a circle at the bottom of it to allow someone's hand to get inside of the circle and pulled up and down the garage door easier than it would be if you just had a plain rope. And then also, I said it's possible this is a hoax designed to get as much attention for Bubba Wallace as possible. I still believe that it is the misunderstanding, but I'm going to dive into this in a big way and explain to you why it's all total lunacy when you really look at all the details. But for those of you out there who had not heard the news yet, yesterday afternoon, the FBI announced that there was nothing to the allegation that there had been a racist act, and that NASCAR immediately putting out this story as if there had somehow been a noose that was left for Bubba Wallace was wrong, and that there was no way to actually defend it in any way. And here was the statement that the FBI put out. Joint statement from the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI special agent in charge. On Monday, 15 FBI special agents conducted numerous interviews regarding the situation at Talladega Super Speedway. After a thorough review of the facts and evidence surrounding this event, we have concluded no federal crime was committed. The FBI learned that garage number 4, where the noose was found, was assigned to Bubba Wallace last week. The investigation also revealed evidence, including authentic video confirmed by NASCAR, that the noose found in garage number 4 was in that garage as early as October 2019. Although the noose is now known to have been in garage number 4 in 19, nobody could have known Mr. Wallace was going would be assigned to garage number 4 last week. The decision not to pursue federal charges is proper after reviewing all available facts and all applicable federal laws. We offer our thanks to NASCAR, Mr. Wallace, and everyone who cooperated with this investigation. It's a total made-up story. And what NASCAR should do is tell us why this investigation took longer than 10 seconds. When you look at the pictures of the garages, this is nowhere near a noose. It is a freaking garage pull door with a handle on it. The FBI even referring to it as a noose is absolutely ridiculous as well. This should have taken 30 seconds, 15 seconds, 8 seconds of actual investigation. Oh, this is what you're concerned about? Let me look at the rest of the garage. Oh, there are a ton of these as well. Yeah, this is not a racist act. We don't need to put out a statement on Sunday night that's filled with histrionics. And then I have to throw everybody under the bus here. To me, this is a fundamental failure of almost the entire cottage industry of sports. First of all, it's a failure by NASCAR. There was no reason for this statement to ever go out on Sunday about a noose found in Bubba Wallace's garage. This could have been privately investigated for like a very limited amount of time, dismissed, and gone ahead with normalcy. Instead, NASCAR put out a statement which made it sound like there was 100% a noose there, and it makes me wonder whether NASCAR was doing whatever it could to get as much publicity as possible. It was a bad look for NASCAR. It was stupid of NASCAR to put out that statement on Sunday. The only way you can argue that it made any sense at all is if you believe NASCAR was complicit in trying to drive attention to its overall product. If you are Bubba Wallace, if somebody tells me that this happened, I want to see it for myself. Before my crew chief takes it to the public, I'm in charge of the overall decisions that are made by my crew. If you're going to come to me and you're going to create a story that is this substantial and this large and this massive, I would want to say, hey, I want to see this for myself. Can you take video of it? Have you looked at the rest of the nooses in the garage to see whether or not they are similar to open and close a garage? Bubba Wallace should have made that decision. People say, oh, Bubba Wallace did nothing wrong. If somebody comes to me on my staff and says that they have found something that's inappropriate, I want to see it. I don't want to immediately have it go public nationwide. I want to know the details for myself, as opposed to allowing this to be spread nationwide, talking about it, going on the freaking View television program, as well as going on with Don Lemon last night on CNN, doing interviews with Fox Sports on the racetrack about this noose and your response to it when it was all a hoax and it wasn't real. I'm sorry, if you're going to ask me to comment on something like that, I need to see it. I need to know for myself with my own eyes what actually has happened. This is on Bubba Wallace too, as much as it's on NASCAR. And finally, the sports media is an utter joke. You can't trust most members of the sports media because they are so far left-wing. They are desperately rooting for awful things to happen, and they give up all of their journalistic integrity. It used to be that the entire point of being a journalist, of being a member of the media, was to pursue the facts before you started to share your opinions. Now, everybody gives their opinions before they even know what the facts are. And they give their opinions based on what they want the facts to be. And the sports media as a collective group is so far left-leaning that they want awful things to be true about America because deep down they believe America is awful. That's the truth. That's the essence of this. That's how stories like this spread. NASCAR, Bubba Wallace, and the sports media all failed completely. Let me just say this. If you look at all of these big, huge racism stories that get all of the attention, if the best thing that can happen to your career is that you are a victim of a racist incident, shouldn't we hit pause and say, wait a minute, let's actually wait for the facts to come out? Because now we've got three different stories that are just like this. We've got Michael Bennett. Remember when Michael Bennett said that he was the victim of racial profiling in Las Vegas? And then the Las Vegas police in a casino came out with 120 different versions of camera footage, which proved that Michael Bennett's story was all a lie. It was the lead story on every NFL pregame show. Oh my God, so bad for Michael Bennett that he was victim of a racist attack. And then the story wasn't true at all, and it's just disappeared. Everybody felt the need to talk about it. Everybody felt the need to feel so sorry for Michael Bennett. Oh, I'm so sorry you had to deal with this, Michael Bennett. And then all of the details come out, and it's a complete lie. There's zero evidence to support anything that he said. Nobody calls him on it. The media that interviews him never brings it up. The story just went away. He lied to everyone. Video came out that proved that he lied to everyone, and Michael Bennett doesn't have to suffer any consequences at all. Remember LeBron James, the racist graffiti on LeBron James's gate? There's a camera right beside it that was mysteriously turned off. They called the police, but when the police arrived at LeBron James's Brentwood area, LA mansion, the racial slur had already been painted over. There was zero evidence that it happened. The LA Police Department investigated it, closed the case without determining that any crime had been committed. You probably never even heard about that. Goes completely away after everybody covers it, after LeBron James compares himself to Emmett Till. After all of that process plays out, nobody even calls LeBron James on the fact that the whole story may well have been made up. No crime. LAPD just dismisses it. They show up a few minutes after the alleged incident happened. It's already been painted over. There's a video camera right there. Nobody mysteriously wasn't on. There's no footage to show us who did it. No, LeBron James is the recipient of racist vandalism. Fact that it didn't happen, that the LAPD can't confirm it, just disappears. And now Bubba Wallace, at least the 15 freaking FBI agents who investigated a garage pull door rope, 15 FBI agents showed up and said, oh my God, what is this? It's a garage pull door rope. It's utterly insane. All three of these things proven either to not happen or to be lies. Michael Bennett, LeBron James, Bubba Wallace. Media got ahead of it. All of the media covered as if this was 100% true. Why should you in the media presume that anything is 100% true? I'm fired up about the failures in the media because I'm a part of them. And honestly, this actually works to my benefit because every time one of these hoaxes blows up, my audience explodes because so many of you feel like, and you're right, you can't trust the media that covers stories. And you may not agree with me. A lot of you may even hate some of my opinions, but the number one thing you know if you listen to OutKick is you can trust what I am telling you. I desperately try to make sure that I get the facts right. And everybody else on Monday, remember we had Jason Whitlock on the show, I encourage you to go listen to it. Everybody else on Monday is talking all about this awful racism before we even knew whether there was any truth to it at all. And the added part here is a lot of people on social media will call you racist if you question or say, let's wait until all the facts are in. We have so expanded the definition of racism that if you say, okay, well, that's an allegation, let's wait and let the investigation take place before we determine what happened, then people out there will be like, oh my God, that's racist. There are people right now who will tweet me after this opening and they will say it was racist of you not to believe that Bubba Wallace had a noose put in his garage the minute that the story came out. I'm sorry, Michael Bennett, LeBron James, now Bubba Wallace. Do you even remember Jussie Smollett? Juicy Smollett, as he's called by Dave Chappelle? The minute you hear some of these stories, I would just ask you, wait a minute, is this the best thing that could ever happen to Jussie Smollett's career? Is this what he would want to happen if he could set out anything? Does this make him more relevant? Is this going to make him more money? Does this make him more of a celebrity? If the answer to all of those questions is yes, why would you presume that anyone is telling the truth without any investigation into the facts actually taking place? I'm going to open up phone lines, 877-996-6369. I will bring in the crew. Again, this is 100% a fundamental failure on the part of NASCAR, on the part of Bubba Wallace, and on the part of the sports media. I'm not giving anybody a pass here. This is a failure of all three on every possible level. There was no reason for this story to play out like it did. And I know some of you out there, probably who are going to want to talk to me on the phone, are going to say, I think this was a complete rig job by NASCAR in an effort to try to get more attention. I don't think that. I think this was a failure systemically because I believe NASCAR gets the complaint and they are so petrified that if they don't take it serious, they're going to be considered racist. So they drastically overreact by putting out that statement on Sunday instead of allowing the investigation to take place first. This was a failure by Bubba Wallace because if somebody on your crew reports that, how is your first thought not, I want to see it for myself? This was a failure of whoever is on Bubba Wallace's crew and didn't take the time to actually walk around in the garages and recognize that this wasn't a noose. It was a pull rope for garage doors. And this was a failure by the media to put the cart before the horse, to race in the direction of covering this as if it were 100% true before we knew the investigation had actually taken place. All of this, failure, failure, failure. All right? 877-996-6369. If you want an antidote to the disease, a vaccine to the virus that has taken over the entirety of sports media and the entirety of this country, I'm telling you, you need to be reading OutKick every day. We've hired Jason Whitlock. We have an incredibly talented group. We're going to have millions of people reading our website this June. Going to be one of the 10 biggest sports websites in the country by July. Go to OutKick.com. You can sign up and be a VIP. You get access to comment to all of our articles. You get a phone number to call this show, a VIP direct line. And most importantly, you're going to have access to all of the events that Jason Whitlock and I are going to be doing, including in the city of Nashville, a college football and NFL kickoff party that is coming in the month of August. So for everybody out there who is desperate for sanity to return to America, I am the king of reasonableness. I am the king of sports media sanity, and so is my company, OutKick. Go check out OutKick.com. Bookmark it. If you feel like everybody else has lost their mind, we are the water in the desert, the oasis that you have been searching for. You can sign up and be a VIP as well and be involved on an even higher level, OutKick.com. We'll take your calls. I'll bring in the crew when we return. Shame on you, NASCAR. Shame on you, Bubba Wallace. Shame on you, sports media. I feel like this is Game of Thrones and we need the Cersei walk where everybody's screaming shame, shame, shame. This was a failure all around of all three major party actors here.
This is OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
I'm working right now on crafting our poll question for the day. And the question is, who looks the worst in the wake of the NASCAR noose debacle? NASCAR, Bubba Wallace or the sports media. And I know all three look bad, but I need you to pick who looks the worst. I just tweeted it out. You can go vote at Clay Travis. You should also go follow me at Clay Travis on Twitter. You can go follow Outkick as well at Outkick. If you think that the world has gone insane, like many of you do, I am here for you to provide at least some small measure of sanity. Danny G, you've been on the show for a while. People get mad at me because I don't toe the corporate line, because I don't always say what everybody else says. But guess what? Michael Bennett, I was right. Michael Bennett was lying. LeBron James and the racist graffiti incident, I was right. I didn't come out as aggressively in saying Bubba Wallace was lying, but I was like, I really don't believe that this story is as it has been reported. I'm sure you guys sometimes get tagged. People are like, oh, I don't know how you work on this show.
Sometimes.
Travis is such a racist. How dare he be on the radio? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm like, I'm sorry. I just don't believe it. Jussie Smollett, Juicy Smollett, same thing, Jussie Smollett. There is more of a demand for high-profile racism than there is a supply of high-profile racism. And so people jump to conclusions. They spread stories that oftentimes are not very true. I'm not saying racism doesn't exist. I'm just saying you got to be skeptical when the best thing that could happen to somebody's career is that they are a victim of racism. And this is, in the world of sports, the third straight huge racist incident that has not had any substance to it. And if you want to count, like 4 years ago, what started my sort of questioning of everyone in the sports media, people may remember this, was the Missouri hoax protest over things that were supposedly going wrong on the University of Missouri's campus, which just weren't true. But Danny G, yesterday you heard us with Shannon Spake. You heard me kind of walk through the possibilities. And this is basically what we said on the program yesterday, that I thought this was a pull rope on the garage door, and that there wasn't going to be a lot to this, and that it was a misunderstanding. And then what happens? Boom, I'm right. Your thoughts?
Well, I give our entire show a lot of credit because we were all asking lots of questions about this yesterday rather than reacting super emotional. We do take a lot of machine gun bullets daily for working with you. In this case, yesterday when this news came out, I did feel bad for Shannon and some other people who work for with NASCAR. And I kind of felt the pressure. You mentioned it in your opening segment there that NASCAR had to have felt pressure when that crew member reported it to them. So they were in
this
a tough spot, but they should,
by the way.
Yeah, he's the one that should be in your poll, I think, Clay, because of what's going on in the times right now. I can see why NASCAR overreacted, although they shouldn't have never put out that statement.
Yep.
It's that crew member that I'm upset with.
Yeah, but Bubba Wallace has to be responsible for that too, to me, because if you're going to make an allegation that's that significant, I want to see it for myself. It's easy to do. Like, think about what I would say to you if you were going to make an allegation like that about Fox Sports Radio Studios.
Yeah.
There's no way that I would say, hey, just report it. Let's go ahead and release a huge statement. I would say, hey, can you take a video of this thing? Can you take a picture? Can you send it to me? When did this happen? How long has it been there? How does it compare to other incidents? Like, I would ask all of those questions because you work with me. And I know as soon as you say something publicly on some story that it's going to be directly connected to me, and I need to know what the basis for the complaint is before we allow all of it to just take off. So, yes, Bubba Wallace, the crew member, whoever reported this, is an idiot, and we should know who that person is that started this entire process rolling. But when you are the person who makes the money, Bubba Wallace is the boss of his crew chiefs and his crew employees. And so ultimately, he has to be the person who looks at this and says, wait a minute, can you go look at every other garage pull door?
Well, isn't that Richard Petty, though? Shouldn't this crew member have sent this to Richard Petty, who really runs things for that crew?
No, but first of all, that might happen. But Richard Petty is in the same spot as NASCAR. If you're a white guy who overlooks a racist complaint, then you get accused of racism. Bubba Wallace has to be smart enough to know that. He's the guy who's going to have this connected to his name for the rest of his career. Fair or foul, there are a lot of people out there that are going to call Bubba Wallace Jussie Smollett for the rest of his sports career. And he's not right now a talented enough driver to be able to rise above all of this and just go out and perform. Once this allegation came out and once Bubba Wallace leaned into it, right? Because it's just not just that it occurred, right? That this complaint was made. It's that Bubba Wallace accepted it as fact. He went on The freaking View. He was scheduled to be on Don Lemon. He did his interview with Fox Sports talking about how he wasn't going to stop smiling because he was not going to let some racist win. He 100% accepted that this was true and leaned into it for the benefit of his brand. And by the way, credit to the other NASCAR drivers and the other NASCAR staff who made it clear that they don't support and will not tolerate racism. But the whole thing was a sham. And all this does, if you are a person out there and you are desperately of the opinion that we don't spend enough time talking about racism and that the country is fundamentally unjust, you're entitled to whatever opinion you want to have. But stories like these, the boy who cried wolf, are going to make stories like these in the future even less believable. The minute this came out, there were a lot of people on social media who flat out said, the minute this allegation was made, I don't believe it. And the reason why so many people said that was because of Jussie Smollett, was because of Michael Bennett, was because of LeBron James, because all of these high-profile sports cases, as well as the Jussie Smollett one, have just completely evaporated and they blow up. So it's just like the boy who cried wolf. The people who allege fake acts of racism detract from actual racism because people stop looking if you scream something and it proves to not be true that many times. Any other thoughts from you?
Just wondering how some of the media reacts today, because thank God we don't have to moonwalk like Michael Jackson, but over the past couple of days, I had to listen to some radio shows and watch some TV shows where they were damn nearly in tears and playing dramatic music underneath the segment. Yeah. And I'm just wondering, when you come back on television or radio today, how do you, you know, how do you go backwards from that?
I don't know. And thankfully, I don't think we've ever had to do that in the history of this show, because I always say the facts are what matters. And that can mean sometimes that in this era of hot take performance art, my hot takes are not that hot. And this is me putting my lawyer hat on. But I've just seen too many cases that don't stand up when you actually look into the evidence. And so I would feel awful if I had to come on with you and say, hey, sorry, you know, the last 2 days, all the screaming and yelling and ranting and opinions that I've been giving you.
Oh, I would love to hear a show like that from
well,
you.
Well, it turns out that, I mean, honestly, I've never had to do it in my entire career. It doesn't mean I don't get my opinions wrong sometimes, but I've never reacted and accepted as fact something that's proven 100% to not be factual. I can't imagine what that feels like to spend days ranting like that. And what you should do is, everybody out there listening should vote with their time. Who can you trust? Ultimately, I think that's what everything comes down to. Who is authentic? Who is trustworthy? Who do you believe that you can listen to, like you do for this show, potentially for 3 hours every day? I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to be flawed like everybody else, but I'm going to get the facts right, and I'm not going to jump to conclusions. Dub is out today. I'll go next to Eddie Garcia. Eddie, you've been doing updates for a while. You were skeptical too, but it's like, if you're skeptical and in the sports media, oh, it's racist not to believe that a racist act happened. The minute you got to get on your hands and knees and beg for forgiveness, you didn't do it. We didn't do it. We were right.
Well, I said yesterday, I'm glad I work at a place where you can have differing opinions, because we know the other network. There's no one over there who was even allowed to give a different opinion than what was being said. So I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad we have differing opinions here than what people want us to believe, I guess, at times. I do kind of understand how NASCAR handled this in a way, because the crazy environment that we're living in, there was no way they could dismiss this, even if there were some people in NASCAR or at Talladega who thought, this is ridiculous. It's just a pull rope. They maybe overreacted, but they handled it in a way that they couldn't dismiss Bubba Wallace, what he said, or else they'd be killed. They get the FBI to come out and announce that obviously nothing had happened.
15 FBI agents investigated a garage door rope.
I did see, and this is on USA Today right now, it's the headline is NASCAR vows to continue investigation into noose. What is there to continue to investigate? I think it's been wrapped up.
The fact that they're even still calling this a noose is pure idiocy.
And
it
Bubba
is
Wallace,
a pull rope for a garage door that has a handle. Like, the idea of the noose, like, nooses exist everywhere. Like, if you are a cowboy and you're trying to catch a cow or a bull or whatever the heck it is, that's a noose. It's a circle that, I mean, like, if you have it's a slip knot, right? Like, I mean, this is so utterly ridiculous.
I really was disappointed because Bubba Wallace did go on CNN with Don Lemon last night, and he still sounds like he doesn't believe this. he said, it's a noose, over and over and over, and he said he's never seen something like that in a garage before. So it sounds like he doesn't believe what the FBI has said, and I thought he had a chance to say, look, under the circumstances, we reacted this way, but in hindsight now, it was a misunderstanding, it was an overreaction. And just come correct with that. But he's not doing that, apparently. And the sports media is just unbelievable how they've covered this. There aren't reporters anymore in certain places.
Most places.
I mean, Shannon Spate came on with us, and she gave facts. She didn't give her opinion. She didn't get on a soapbox and start preaching to anyone. And reporters are supposed to go by evidence and facts and report what they know, not their opinions on these things. And the sports media, to me, is on top of the poll, unfortunately.
Yeah, right now, 4,000 of you have voted in the first 10 minutes. You can go vote at Clay Travis. Who looks the worst in the wake of the NASCAR noose debacle? NASCAR, Bubba Wallace, or the sports media? And I said, I know all three look bad. I need you to pick who looks the worst. The sports media is getting 52% of the vote. Bubba Wallace, 26%. NASCAR, 22%. So media, Bubba Wallace,
NASCAR. I agree with that,
NASCAR.
By the way. I agree with that.
I think that's the right trajectory as well. We'll see how the numbers continue. You can go vote at Clay Travis.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
You're listening to Outkick the Coverage. I hope all of you are having a fantastic start to your Wednesdays, wherever you may be across this great country or this great land. Major League Baseball officially coming back. The players are going to report on July 1st. We'll be talking about that with John Morosi next hour, our Major League Baseball insider. Games will recommence on July 23rd or 24th. 60-game season. That is finally a positive after months of talking about when Major League Baseball would come back. Now we have official dates, but we are unpacking the absurdity of the Bubba Wallace story, which has fallen apart. NASCAR, Bubba Wallace, the sports media, everybody's got egg on their face. The latest in the fake racial incidents in the world of sports. Michael Bennett lies about the Las Vegas police, proven to be a liar about their racism against him. Story disappears. LeBron James, racial slur on his gate. LAPD investigates. There's no evidence it actually happened. Story disappears. Bubba Wallace and his crew say there is a noose in his garage at NASCAR. 15 FBI agents investigate. There is no noose in his garage. Yet, which one of those is the most to blame? Your answer may change when we play the audio for you here. You can go vote at Clay Travis and tell us what you think in terms of who looks the worst in the wake of this story. The sports media, Bubba Wallace, or NASCAR? Sports media getting 52% of the vote. Bubba Wallace getting 27% of the vote, NASCAR getting 21%. We are taking your phone calls, allowing you to react. We only have five lines instead of our usual 10 because Dub is out of the studio in Nashville. So I'm going to ask you to be fast as we move through. But first, let me play you the audio. Bubba Wallace went on The View yesterday in the morning before this story went out. And then once the FBI had debunked the idea that there was any race issues here, any hate crime, Bubba Wallace then went on Don Lemon after the FBI had already released their statement, and he continued to argue that something was going on here. Listen to this.
The image that I have and I have seen of what was hanging in my garage is not a garage pool. I've been racing all my life. We've raced out of hundreds of garages that never had garage pools like that. So people that want to call it a garage pool and put out old videos and photos of knots being as their evidence, go ahead. But from the evidence that we have and that I have, it's a straight up noose. The FBI has stated it was a noose over and over again. NASCAR leadership has stated that it was a noose. I can confirm that. I actually got evidence of what was hanging in my garage, over my car, around my picker guys, to confirm that it was a noose, and never seen anything like it.
This, to me, makes Bubba Wallace the number one blamer, because this sounds like he did what I would have done, which is say, send me pictures of this thing, and then he ran with the idea that this was a noose, even though it's a knot with a handle, so it's easier to pull down the garage door. It's a freaking slip knot. Somebody said in the comments here that I think is a good one, that this is just the most basic of knots that you're learned and taught in the military. People are sending me pictures of their garages with similar setups because it's easier to put your hand in if you have a rope to lift up and down your garage door. It's easier to do it with a handle with a loop than it is without. I mean, this is crazy. It's like people don't realize what ropes exist for. And Bubba Wallace to go on CNN and continue to spread a falsehood even after it's been debunked. And again, you guys agree with me? It sounds like, because he tried to say, oh, I didn't know anything about this. This wasn't me. It sounds like he's basically taking ownership of this report now, which honestly makes more sense, because if the black driver on NASCAR says there's a noose in my garage, and you don't take it seriously if you're NASCAR, then you get called racist. So they have to call in 15 FBI agents to investigate a garage pull door because Bubba Wallace is saying that that is the truth. This is a bad look for Bubba Wallace, man. He is going full Jussie Smollett here. And he's not good enough for this story to just disappear. This is, for most people who care about NASCAR, going to define him for the rest of his career as a race car driver. He's NASCAR's own version of Jussie Smollett if he continues to lean into this like he did last night with Don Lemon. We'll take your calls, 877-996-6369. As somebody drops off, you can call in. Who's up first? Danny G. I'm used to saying Dub. Dub's out today.
Greg in Florida.
Greg, what do you think?
Hey, first and foremost, you guys, what an awesome show. Thanks for doing it right. Listen, I got a couple quick points. Number one, doesn't it seem like we're living in a really bad movie that the National Enquirer is directing or something? You know, the media is trying to cut everybody's cojones and saying, this is the way it has to be. If you don't think this way, Well, then we're just going to keep saying whatever we want to say because they have no repercussions. They answer to no one.
Yeah.
And it seems like the more shock value jock garbage they get promoted for that, where they should be fired for not having – how do they not look in the mirror in the morning and not puke? And that's where my biggest point is. But also, a quick thing on the race deal and Bubba, oh, my gosh. He's gonna take that lie to his death. He's going to defend it to the death. I mean, it's unfortunate, but the ego on some of these sports guys, you know, he's going to take it to his death. He's taking that route. But I was driving in my car one day, and way back in the day, just real quickly, the Parkland thing had happened, and I listened to Stephen A. You know what he said? He actually said, I can't believe he has a job. He said on the radio, you know, when they took that man out, that boy out that killed it, if he was a black man, he'd have been coming out in a body bag, just keeping it real. Do you know how racist and awful that is to the police force, to anybody that has a soul? And I'm thinking to myself, this is a guy who's got a voice.
Yeah.
And how horrible that is. And there are no repercussions.
Thanks for the call. Look, I think people need to vote who they listen to and what content they consume based on who they can trust. Because I think we live in a low-trust society right now where there are a lot of people trying to manipulate you all day long. And what I try to do, because I think it really 100 billion% matters, is make sure that the facts are right. And if that means that I'm not really going into the Bubba Wallace story in an aggressive way with a really strong opinion until Wednesday instead of having one on Monday and Tuesday, when everybody else is rending their garments and screaming and yelling and having strong opinions, I'm willing to take that risk because we didn't know the facts. I mean, if you go back and listen, and I'd encourage you to do it, go back and listen to the podcast on Monday and Tuesday. I wish there was somebody smart enough in the media to write these stories and compare how people cover stories. Today, I don't have egg on my face. I'm not coming on saying, hey, sorry about the 2 days of ranting I did. Turns out none of what I was talking about was actually true. I'm willing, and I think most audience members are willing to wait. We got plenty of time to figure out what happened. You don't need to have an opinion. I mean, look, if you're teaching a journalism course, go back and listen to our interview yesterday with Shannon Spake. I mean, Shannon was great on the show. She covers NASCAR, but what I wanted to talk about with her was the specific details. What does the garage look like? What does the pull rope look like in this case? You go back and listen. There was evidence out there that this was going to be a pull rope related incident. How do you determine what berth you get? Like all as a garage, all of these different questions that are important. These are questions that lawyers would ask in a trial. A good question, in my opinion, is better than a good opinion because a good question will make you think about a variety of different angles. That's why I like to put up the poll questions. And I always say, hey, if we have a poll question that's almost 50-50, like yesterday's poll question, 35,000 of you voted, what was dumber, renaming the Masters or Brett Favre comparing Colin Kaepernick to Pat Tillman? It's nearly 50-50. A really good question has equal parts on both sides. People are like, well, now that you think about it that way, you can make an argument on both sides. We're talking about a lot of times hard choices. And the facts are important, and trust in an era when you can't trust people. Politicians, media, people with public profiles, athletes, they often share falsehoods. And I believe that trust is important for me to talk to you every day and try to get my facts wrong, right? And sometimes I get facts wrong. But it's never been a case where I've come on and had to apologize for 2 days of my show because I was completely wrong, like so many people in my industry are. And I don't know how they come out and do their show Wednesday. I don't know what it would feel like to be that wrong. Who's up? Who's up next, Dub? Danny G.
You'll get it by next hour. All right, let's go with Jermaine in North Carolina.
Jermaine, what you got?
Hey, good morning, man. First time caller, man. I'll be very quick. I'm going to say first, I think you got one of the best shows out
Appreciate that, man.
You do everything you agree. I agree with a lot of you say. But let me be real quick. First comment and question. My comment is, as a 47-year-old black man, I think we've gone crazy as far as always wanting to jump to conclusions as far as racism. When you say everything, you say this morning, been on point on that. But the question I want to get, and I'll take off the air, if you think if NASCAR have had, like, better race relations in the past, they wouldn't have to be so reactionary. And I want to take you off the air, man. Take care and God bless you, man.
Yeah, well, thanks for listening, Jermaine. Appreciate the feedback. Look, I think that's a part of this. I do think if NASCAR had better race relations in the past, maybe they would have. If NASCAR had more black drivers, maybe they wouldn't have felt the need to drastically overreact. Here's what I think NASCAR did that was an overreaction. I think calling in the FBI and investigating it, while it sounds ridiculous, is smarter for NASCAR than doing their own investigation, because people could say, oh, of course NASCAR came up with that conclusion. I think that was a super smart move, even though I find it a bit ridiculous that we have 15 different FBI agents, our tax dollars, investigating a rope used to pull down a garage door. I mean, that is kind of ridiculous, but from a NASCAR perspective, I think that was smart. Where I think NASCAR erred was in putting out that statement on Sunday night. Can one of you pull up that statement on Sunday night and read it? Because the way that NASCAR's statement read on Sunday night, it gave us a conclusion to an investigation that had not yet been completed. That is the flaw I think that NASCAR made, was in believing, hey, this is a noose the minute the complaint was made. If they had come out on Sunday night and said, hey, we're conducting an investigation, read that statement to me right now.
Late this afternoon, NASCAR was made aware that a noose was found in the garage stall of the 43 team. We are angry and outraged and cannot state strongly enough how seriously we take this heinous act. We have launched an immediate investigation and will do everything we can to identify the person or persons responsible and eliminate them from our sport. As we have stated, there is no place for racism in NASCAR, and this act only strengthens our resolve to make the sport open and welcoming to all.
Yeah, so they, in their statement on Sunday night, tell us what happened, right? I read that first, like, two sentences again from that statement. They don't say, like, what's the purpose of an investigation if you already know what happened? They put the cart way before the horse. That would be the flaw here. NASCAR's statement is now, we know, rooted in a lie. And if you're an organization, you can't put out a statement like this before you even know what happened. Read that opening again.
Late this afternoon, NASCAR was made aware that a noose was found in the garage stall of the 43 team. We are angry and outraged and cannot state strongly enough how seriously we take this heinous act. We have launched an immediate investigation and will do everything we can to identify the person responsible and eliminate them from the sport.
Yeah, so, I mean, that is basically telling us this was a racist act without ever knowing that that was the case at all, which sets in motion all of the ridiculousness that now NASCAR has to wear. And that's their fault. But the investigation, if they had just come out and said, hey, we've been made aware of an alleged racial act involving Bubba Wallace. We are making sure that he's safe, and we are conducting an investigation into whether or not it is true. We will update you at some point in the future when the investigation is correct. NASCAR condemns all hate, whatever, you know, you want to say at the end. I don't know why the statement wouldn't say that, if you feel the need to put out a statement. Now, Jason Whitlock in his column yesterday at Outkick raised a good point, which is, why in the world would NASCAR put out a statement before they even have conducted any of the investigation at all? And the answer is, I think NASCAR, to Jermaine's point, who just called in, NASCAR is so afraid of being called racist that they're going to go way over the board in the opposite direction. But that's why I think as a group on the show, if we were casting who's the most to blame here, I think Bubba Wallace and his crew is, to me, starting to look like the most blameworthy. Based on his comments to Don Lemon, it sounds like he legitimately believes this was a noose and that he looked at images of it, and he wanted this story to be put out there. So to me, it starts to feel like Bubba Wallace and his crew are the biggest blameworthy here. But certainly we know the sports media is, because most people in the sports media didn't wait for the facts. They went ahead and ran right to the reaction. And that's a big problem that goes on in America today, right? Because of social media, which I think has accelerated our news cycle, people want to react to a story before they even know what the story is. Until you know what the facts are, it's hard to have a smart and intelligent opinion about things. And I always say that in every case. You know, athlete gets accused of a crime. Remember Ezekiel Elliott? I was probably the biggest defender of Ezekiel Elliott in the entire sports media. Guy gets accused of domestic assault. Investigation takes place. Charges aren't brought. He still gets suspended by the NFL. I'm sitting around saying, wait a minute, did you look at this evidence? I think the girl lied. One of the big flaws we have is, based on identity, people decide whether or not they believe someone before they even know the facts. It's like right now in this Me Too era, woman comes out and says, hey, I was sexually harassed or I was sexually assaulted. People believe the woman immediately because she's a woman. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's fundamentally wrong. Me as a lawyer, you can't believe anyone. That women lie. Men lie. Humans lie. Why in the world would you believe someone based on their identity as opposed to what the facts are? So I don't care what race you are. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what sex you are. I don't care whether you're rich or poor. The law, if you study it, tells us over and over and over again that you have to wait on the facts and not just believe someone because they look like you or because you want their story to be true because it confirms your worldview. The sports media has fallen into this trap where they believe someone because they want the story to be true. That's what I say about the sports media. They want awful things to be true. Let me try to get to a bunch more of your calls here. Who's up next?
Brent in Kentucky.
Brent, what you got?
What's going on, Clay? Hey, I've got a lot going on in my head right now. I'm pissed off about all this. I hadn't heard that take, that comment that he made to Don Lemon, so I'd like to change my vote. But one of the things that really aggravates me is the fact, didn't they say that door pool had been there since, what, last October?
That's correct. At least since last October. It might have been there longer, but they have evidence that it was there at least in October.
Okay. So all this was, you know, first happened in on Sunday, and then it got rained out and delayed till Monday. And then they pull this spectacle with all of these garage guys and all these drivers pushing his car out to, you know, and to the front for his little selfie. What aggravates me is you're going to try to tell me that not one of those garage guys, if not multiple garage guys, hadn't seen that before, and they just go along with this spectacle and doesn't call out, say, hey, no, we're not doing this, we're not going along with this. This was not directed at him. This has been here for 8 months.
Yeah.
And so we're not going to be a part of this spectacle, going out here and having a selfie. To me, it feels like, now I may be way off here, you know, the him being compared to Jussie Smollett is, I think, almost accurate simply because you got a D-list actor that wasn't getting enough attention.
Yeah.
And now you got a third-rate driver that couldn't finish in the top. I think he finished a seventh at Daytona last year or year before, I think in 18 or 19. And it almost seems like he is going to take this, like the other guy said, as hard as he can and possibly, I don't know, become the Colin Kaepernick of NASCAR. I don't know what his motives are here, but NASCAR needs to have some backbone to say, hey, listen, our investigation has been completed. It wasn't directed at you. Quit going on major networks and trying to make this look like somebody in NASCAR is racist. And I'm going to get off here and listen to what you got to think about that.
It's a good call on so many different levels. And I think the analogy of the guy's not a good enough race car driver, so he wants to get attention and sponsorship dollars. Remember, I mean, NASCAR is a sport driven by sponsorship dollars. There's probably a lot of companies that want to sponsor Bubba Wallace now because he's more well-known. I mean, heck, he's getting talked about on this radio program, and we haven't talked about a NASCAR driver on this radio program hardly at all regularly as a lead story. What do you think, Danny G, in 5 years?
Yeah, not since you interviewed that one NASCAR driver.
Yeah, but I'm saying we've had interviews with NASCAR drivers. Yeah. I'm talking about like we come on and our lead story.
Oh, yeah, just
NASCAR.
As a headline story.
I don't think we've done it in 5 years.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, he is relevant, even if he's relevant for a bad reason, and he might lean into that. Who's up next?
All right, Mike in Maryland.
Mike, what you got?
What's going on? I'm a black guy. I'm a former prosecutor, so obviously I have my own stance. But what actually just was said, I think, is actually ironic, because Colin Kaepernick, the whole issue with him, it's not – because I'm totally a First Amendment guy, kind of like you in that respect – but when things are based on content is where I have my issue. If Colin Kaepernick was kneeling because he was anti-abortion, the people who support him would have totally flipped.
This is a great argument. I'm glad you called in as a lawyer. That's what people who say, a lot of times people say, I'm a First Amendment absolutist. That's what I say. but they immediately then back off if somebody says something else. So you're right. If Colin Kaepernick kneels because he's against abortion, or if Colin Kaepernick kneels because he's opposed to gay marriage, the same people who are like, thank God he's using his voice to speak out, would be like, no, 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 this guy can't do that in uniform at work. The NFL has to blame him, has to do something to him. Sorry to cut you off, but it's a really good point.
Yeah. And with the Bubba Wallace, then, the only thing I think is interesting is, I don't know how many garages there are, if there's been an investigation to see if there's also a similar, like, tie rope on other garages, because I get that there's a likelihood that this was not a racial incident at all, and that's what's been found by the FBI. But if there's no other garages that have a similar tie rope, it could be obviously misinterpreted, which would obviously lead to this result, and it's not illogical. But I'm not going to say that there's a racial incident, but there was also racial incidents with people flying Confederate flags and having the Confederate flag rally before that race, I believe, in Talladega, which in itself could have been a justification for them having the whole little pit crew, selfie nonsense.
Yeah, right.
But I don't really watch NASCAR. I'm not going to start watching NASCAR because of this. I'm not going to lie. But I think that saying that NASCAR does not have a Confederate flag or racial issue, because, I mean, honestly, my issue is the Confederate flag is a flag of treason, and there's just no other way to look at it. So I don't really understand the justification of why a flag that's basically saying I'm anti-American is something that people would be trying to espouse. But thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, it's a smart call on a lot of different levels. The Confederate flag is an interesting we could probably do an entire show on the Civil War. And my position on the Confederate flag is you should have to have basic Civil War knowledge in order to fly it. And what I mean by that is most people who are involved in arguing one side or the other don't have very much historical knowledge. And I'm a Civil War buff, so one of the things I like to do is read about American history.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
John Morosi, our Major League Baseball insider and expert. John, I just, well, first of all, the positive is baseball players going to be back July 1st. Theoretically, the game going to be back July 23rd and 24th. What actually happened? What have we done over the last couple of months? Why couldn't the commissioner have just mandated a 60-game season a long time ago or even more? What, take us behind the scenes here. How did we get to this resolution?
Good morning, Clay. Yes, it is a good morning for baseball. The sport is coming back, and your question is a very important one, because I really believe that in many cases both sides had points they wanted to make over the course of bargaining that pertain largely to the next CBA and the future labor relations as it's going to be constructed in 2022 and beyond. So it really, unfortunately, it was a matter of staking out some of those positions and communicating those messages and principles to one another. And you're right, that certainly had things unfolded differently, that in many cities in the country at the moment, that it would have been safe to play. But at the certainly at the way things unfolded, that was not meant to be in this particular circumstance. But at the very least, we will have 60 games, and 60, my friend, is better than zero.
That's right. And to your credit, you have remained optimistic that this was going to get worked out on this show for the past several months. So let's go to those 60 games. Do we know where the games will be played?
Right now, Clay, according to the manual reportedly that's been circulated among teams and the union and decided upon by the union and MLB, initially the plan will be for teams to begin their seasons in their home ballparks. So wherever you play your regular season games, you will be starting a week from now. However, MLB does reserve the right to move those teams and those games to neutral sites or alternate sites if it is deemed to be necessary because of laws or local ordinances as it pertains to COVID-19. What we don't know at the moment, Clay, the one team that I really don't know what's going to happen with is the Toronto Blue Jays, because we still have obviously a lot of international border restrictions at the moment, and it's unclear if the Jays are going to be able to be in Toronto, travel in and out, because at the moment there are 2-week quarantines mandatory there as it pertains to the Canadian border. So that is a massive question mark. But the other teams, Clay, I think the simple answer is that if it is safe to play and to abide by the regulations as set forth in the manual as it pertains to getting to the ballpark and safely being there, safely having a gathering even of the size that requires to play a major league game within your own team, as long as those rules are able to be followed in the context of baseball, I think we are going to see a majority of teams, and maybe even a strong majority of teams, playing their games during the regular season at their home ballpark.
That's quite a bit different than the NBA, because the NBA is basically setting up this quarantine bubble. How will Major League Baseball respond in the event players test positive? Will they be testing every day? Do we know what that process will look like?
Well, there will be the temperature checks every day and that level of testing. We don't know if it's going to be the sort of the still in the process of innovating some of the rapid testing that is really just under development as we speak today. That part is unclear, but there will be testing done of various kinds every day, including, of course, temperature checks at the very least. And then in terms of whenever a player tests positive, the hope will be that if there's not a massive team-wide outbreak, and this has not been deliberately spelled out from what I can ascertain yet, but if there's not a team-wide outbreak where you've got all of a sudden 10 players both testing positive and symptomatic, that you could probably still continue playing. And there is a player pool of up to 60 people, which is intentionally larger than the normal 40-man roster that you would see. They're going to begin the season with 30 players actively. Reportedly, according to Joel Sherman yesterday, there's not going to be a minimum number of days or max number of days set on being on the injured list for COVID reasons. That's almost going to be a separate list where if you test positive and you're going to have to be on the COVID restricted list or whatever it's going to be called for a period of time, you don't necessarily have to stay there for a fixed number of days, nor is there a minimum maximum number of days that you could be there. So baseball is going to do, a very comprehensive job of making sure that that every health detail is being abided by to ensure that there is as low of a chance of an outbreak within the MLB population as possible.
There's going to be DH universal, right? Why is that a big deal? What have you heard fans in terms of responding? Obviously, the big difference between the American League and the National League has been that the National League continues to have a pitcher and pitchers have to bat. Is this a long-term change? What's the reaction been that you have seen from fans?
Well, Clay, I believe we have seen the last of the NL rules, and that's a very for as many times as you and I have had conversations about baseball in the past, that is always a hot button issue. You're probably going to have people calling in on both sides of that issue today, but here it's probably topic number five or six in the overall situation of baseball coming back. But I do believe we have seen the last of it. I really do. I think that the union likes it in general because DHs tend to be better paid than your average last pitcher on the roster or your average last position player on the roster. So in that situation, I think you're going to see higher salaries, higher payrolls, and it'll actually be a positive change from the standpoint of the players. And I think, too, MLB has generally been of the mind that having a universal DH gives you more flexibility in scheduling if you want to have a different structure to your divisions where you've got tighter geography. And also, as you look to the future, I know it's still off there in the distance, but the possibility of expansion. Your hometown, Nashville, has been mentioned in that conversation too. So if you expand to 32 teams, it makes everything a lot easier if you have a universal DH and you can align divisions that way.
What will the schedule look like when it comes out? There was initially this idea of these different pods where everybody was going to be traveling and playing local teams. We might do away with American and National Leagues for purposes of this season. What have you heard about that?
It's going to be a hybrid, reportedly, Clay, of those two circumstances where you would have 40 games within your division. So you would play 10 games apiece against your four divisional opponents. Of course, each division still in baseball now has five teams. And then you would play the remaining 20 games of the 60-game schedule against the opposite division within your own third of the country. So you are right in that we are going to see largely divisional play and then crossover play, and we will not be seeing the Yankees play the Angels or the Yankees playing the White Sox this year. We're going to see teams stay within their geographic third, which makes sense. It's less expensive. When you stay within that group, theoretically, from a standpoint of infection control, it's a little bit of a safer endeavor from that standpoint with travel, that you're staying within your same geographic third of the country. So I think that makes intuitive sense, and it's going to be a little bit easier from a travel standpoint as well.
How many players are going to sit out, and will any of them be quote-unquote superstars?
That's a great question. We don't know. The first answer is, with the information being so fresh just from yesterday, we don't know. I think there is going to be a number of players who do sit out, Clay, but I don't think it's going to be huge. We saw Terry Francona say on FS1 in an interview with our colleagues from MLB Whip Around there recently that he had not spoken with a single player in the Cleveland organization or coaching staff member who had said at that point in time that they plan to not play. So that's just one team, one data point, but I think that probably contradicts some of the thought that you would have players in large numbers across the sport deciding not to play. The interesting question, Clay, is going to be, for the players who they received their advance money earlier on in the season, if you're making under $1 million per year, in terms of your initial salary. So basically now we're down to a little more than a third, but if you're making $1 million, of course, now you're down to, you know, around the 350 grand range, the 300 grand range, whatever it would be. And you're now, that player is basically going to be playing for a very, very small amount of additional salary this year based on the prorated portion of it. But I do wonder, Clay, that a lot of those players will probably still play because they have to set themselves up for their future career. We're seeing a time where the league is somewhat, the spending, I believe, will be somewhat depressed this winter for obvious reasons, because teams' revenues are going to come down, and you are now fighting for your spot in the league and your future paychecks, which I think will be enough, even if a player's only going to get an additional 25 grand for the balance of the year or a little more than that. I still think a lot of those players are going to want to be part of it and set themselves up for the future.
Home cities, home stadiums, will there be fans present at all?
So that is a great question. And to use the example of Texas right now, obviously for a while they were allowing gatherings. Of recent days there have been a spike in COVID-19 cases in Texas. For now, Clay, it appears that it's going to be largely a subject of the local ordinances and laws in those areas. I think MLB has structured the league right now in a fashion that they will not be expecting that there are going to be fans. At least they're not counting on that. But I don't think we're going to see an express prohibition against that, at least as we get underway. And, of course, the important thing to point out is we are still a month away from regular season games. And as we have seen with COVID-19, a lot can change in the span of a month.
Final question for you, and we're talking John Morosi. Go follow him on Twitter, our Major League Baseball insider. As we look ahead, 1 being the least contentious, 10 being the most contentious, what is the relationship like now between the Major League Baseball Players Association and the owners?
I think it's still at about a 7, Clay. It is. I'm encouraged that they were able to come together on some details of the return to play last night. And in fact, I was even told by one source that perhaps some issues that were not dealt with constructively in the course of the last several months may still be dealt with in a positive way in the next 24 or 48 hours as everybody gets a handle on what the season is going to be. So I think there is more conversation than not. I think that's very good, but it's certainly still contentious, and it would be disingenuous on my part for me to say that, oh, we've got a deal and everything is back to being great and there's zero acrimony now. That is not where we're at, unfortunately, and I still think we've got a lot of difficult conversations in the months to come as it pertains to what the sport is going to look like after the 2021 season. But at least for now, Clay, my friend, the reality is we're going to have, in all likelihood, a 2020 season, and that is worth celebrating here this morning.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying strong and staying optimistic. Baseball is back. John Morosi, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, Clay. Thanks so much.